This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start today pulling out our wallets. Again, in our regular series, Budget Boston, we look at ways that we can all stretch a dollar. Last month, we talked about financial planning. So this month, we thought, let's take the budget idea head on. So we're going to take a deep dive in the how-tos and the pitfalls of actually making a budget. Maybe you want to save, or you want to pay down, or maybe you just want to get by with a little bit more to spare. Regardless, you are welcome at the table today. So with us now to teach us how to budget, Ansel Tejada, Program Manager of Financial Empowerment at the Massachusetts Association for Community Action, or MASCAP. Ansel, welcome.
Thank you so much for inviting us today.
I appreciate you coming in. And so I'm going to start with, for you, money is overwhelming for people a good deal of the time. So let's start a little easy. We're going to do some true and false questions. And you're just going to give me a true or a false.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Right. So true or false, you can only save money if you make a lot of it.
That's a big false.
True or false, you can't save and pay down debt at the same time and make progress on both.
That's another big false.
True or false? The smartest way to save as a couple is to combine finances.
And that one actually falls in the middle because you could have different methods of our savings between the both of you. Communication is key between both of you, what you guys are savings, but it sort of falls in the middle. So it's not true and it's not false.
So it kind of depends on your strategy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. So true or false, budgets only work if they're restrictive.
No, budgets only work if it allows you to get to your goal.
Very nice. All right. True or false? You can't accomplish your financial goals while you have debt.
That's another false. You could have debt as long as you're making progressive payments towards it. You could always achieve your goals.
Okay. And last true and false, Ansel, all credit card debt is bad.
I personally think it is. There's a big conception that, you know, you could do certain things that as long as it's progressing, you put it down for an education purposes or something like that. But I believe that credit card is one of the things that weighs you down the most. So I try to stick away from it. Although you do need credit card debt in order to, when you're in different stages of your life and building your credit, there is something that you need that is with credit card debt.
But in general, what I think you're saying is while debt isn't necessarily bad, debt where you're paying a lot of interest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a lot
of
interest.
And that's why credit cards can be bad.
In general, credit card debt is definitely not something that you want.
Okay, so very helpful truths and falses there. Anybody needs to and can budget. The question is where to start. So if somebody says, oh, I'm going to do this, right? How do you tell them to start?
You know, I the best thing you could do and the first thing that I always recommend is know your base. So you got to look at where you're at the current time. So, you know, we often talk about a certain scenario of somebody making roughly about $50,000 a year, $45,000 to $50,000 a year, and what does that look like and everything like that. Well, I kind of step away from that, and I start is, what are your daily habits of spending and what is your spending look like? So something I kind of do, I play a game with a lot of my clients and so I go back and play, detective. Let's go back and play detective and let's see what your weekly or even a biweekly spending, depending on your paycheck. So if you get paid weekly, let's look at what those spending expenditure looks like. And if you get paid biweekly, let's look at what those expenditure looks like so that we could get a base of where you're spending and what are your habits look like. Obviously, we have your necessities and we have your wants and we have your needs, but I want to know what you're spending your extra cash on and things like that. So once I gather a lot of information to kind of give you the best advice, then we start talking about how do we set up a proper budget. And that's when we talk about the 50-30-20 method. So in an ideal budget.
Okay, so pause on the 50-30-20. We're going to come to that in just a second, but I'm going to go back for a second to this snapshot, this detective that you're playing. So A, if you're going to budget, the first thing you must do is figure out what you're spending your money on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to figure out what are your habits, what are you spending your money on. The number one thing I often come to one of my clients is they often say, well, I know where everything is going. It's going into bills. It's going into the house. I pay my rent. I do all these things. But we often miss those other opportunities of things that we're spending our money on and that we got to do those impulse buys, as I call them. When you go to the grocery store, and you're with the kids and, you know, the kid sets up a tantrum and you just bought him whatever was on the rack that he wanted.
Yeah.
Happens to me very often. So that's why I say it as an experience. But, you know, you didn't account for that expenditure and it could have been an extra $10. And when we're all in tight budgets, $10 makes a difference because those could have been the $10 that you were saving for yourself or something along those lines. So you need to play detective.
And there are a number of digital tools that you can use now, online bank statements, credit card statements, those kinds of things. to help you, or a tracker on your phone that might help you keep track, right?
There's plenty of apps that you could definitely use out there to keep track of all your expenditures. There are some of us that still like pen and paper. They'd like to jot it down.
Just write it down.
So I create an Excel worksheet and I give it to them and sort of say, hey, when you leave the home and you come back, please write down everything you kind of wrote. You have all types of tools that can help you go ahead and play this detective that you need to do.
Okay, so now I've got a question. We reached out to our texting club and gave them, hey, what questions do you have about budgeting? And I think this one will get us to this 50-30-20 that you were talking about. And by the way, if you want to join our texting club, you text the word Boston to 617-766-0382. That's 617-766-0382. Text us the word Boston. We'll get you started. So Julie in JP asks, I read that I should keep track of my spending for a month to see where my money goes and then figure out where I can cut back. I have kept track, and I'm not sure where to go from here. I don't know what's a reasonable goal to spend, for example, for food in a month. This is where I think we get to this 50-30-20 thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the general basis is 50-30-20. So 50% is for all your necessities that you have throughout the throughout that time period.
And food would count as
a
necessity.
And food would count as a necessity, absolutely.
Give us a couple others.
You have your bills that you need to put. You have minimum payments that you need to make on your credit card. So the minimum payments are a necessity because you want to create those healthy habits. You have your transportation needs that you need. So if you need to get to work and you need to pay for the tea, you definitely need to keep that as a necessity. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the examples. So your rent, your mortgage, anything that is crucial for you to have a consistent normal life.
So 50% of your spending should go to those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So once we go back to the $50,000, so if you break it down on a monthly basis, that's about $3,400 a month. So half of that, say about $1,700 roughly.
Okay. Now, I do want to note, so for example, if you're on the $15 minimum wage, right, which is what
we make
here in Massachusetts, you're making $31,000 a year.
Yeah.
Same thing. You're still going to spend 50% on those basic necessities.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we also have to take a look at, you know, the rents in Massachusetts are much more expensive. So I often get that rebuttal, well, my rent is so much more expensive than the 50%. And that's when we have to find other ways and means in order to, you know, help ourselves cover those gaps that we have.
Okay, so let's say one is in a situation in Massachusetts, you're making $15 an hour minimum wage, you're making $31,000 a year. There is no way that your rent isn't more than 50%.
Absolutely.
So then these 30 and 20 have to get tweaked. So tell us what's in the 30% and the 20%.
So in the 30% are your wants. These are your monthly subscriptions that you may have out there. These are your going out and entertainment. These might be going to the movies. This might be stuff like that. That's really, you want to do it. And these are the activities that are good for you. For example, some of them are setting up family time that you want to do over the weekend. And if you're in a household with the kids and things like that, but those can be tweaked. That 30% can definitely be tweaked and be put into either side of the spectrum. And I'll explain what I mean by either side. It can go into the 50% if you need to add into more. So now it turns into, you know, a 60-20-20. Mm-hmm. Because you took that extra percent, 10% from there because you needed it for the extra necessities that you have to your responsibility that you have to make. But then it's also looking for ways to adjusting back to 50%.
All right. So, and then the 20%, what is that?
The 20% is savings and debt repayment. So it's a combination of the two things. You're paying your minimum on your credit cards when it comes down to your necessities and that 50%. But we need to strategize to get those payments down even quicker so that 20% can turn into mainly savings. Because if we get your debt down as quick as possible, then that means that debt goes away on that side, and now it could go into the 20%.
Okay, so let's review, and then I'm going to have a couple case questions
Absolutely.
For you. So the review is, start by figuring out how much you spend every week and every month now.
Yeah.
Write it down, use a tracker, use your statements, whatever, but get clear on that.
Yeah.
And then make a budget where you say, okay, 50% of what I spend should be on things I have to have.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, I leave 30% of what I've got every month. And if whether we're looking at $1,700 a month or we're looking at, you know, more like $1,200 a month, 30% of whatever I've got can go to the things that I want. And I need to reserve 20% to save a little and pay down debt.
Yeah.
And my goal over time is more savings, less paying down debt.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got this so far?
Yeah.
All right. So here's a case question for you. Let's talk clothes. Mm-hmm. All right. So whether I'm making $50,000 a year or I'm making $31,000 a year, my kid has to have a winter coat.
Yes.
I don't necessarily have to have that sweater from TJ Maxx, but I would like that sweater from TJ Maxx because it would be helpful at work.
Yep.
So where do clothes fit? Is that 50%? Is that I have to, or 30% I want to? Because these are the scenarios people will get into if they're sitting down and trying to do this at home.
Yeah, absolutely. So for that upcoming month, so, you know, if you're properly budgeting, and this is the great thing about budgeting, that word budgeting to me means telling your money where to go and not wondering where it went. So if you're properly budgeting, you would have it already in, before the winter months, and you know you're going to need that coat for the child. It is a complete necessity. So it will go into the necessity bucket. You also need winter clothes, but do you need that sweater from TJ Maxx, or can you go get a sweater from somewhere else? It is a necessity, but it doesn't have to. It could go into a necessity if you properly budget for it. It becomes an impulse buy if you go to TJ Maxx and just get whichever sweater you
want.
Got
it. So if I say, listen, I need a new sweater for work, that's a need, but I could thrift it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or I could buy it new.
Yeah, you got to find other resources that you could find it to accommodate to your budget.
Okay, so from our texting group, Will F. from Cambridge, one of the two questions Will sent in, do goals need to be set before I do the budget?
So I say a strong yes.
So because what do you mean by goals?
It's exactly what your goal is that you want to achieve with this budget. And it usually revolves around the savings part of it. And that's why they say whenever you save with a goal, you're more likely to continue and get to your goal when you do it this way. And then you're more likely to adjust the other things in order to get to your savings, in order to get to your goal. So when you're goal driven, we are human beings. And we're driven by successes and by failures. That's what we're driven whichever way we go, by successes and failures. That's why it's very important to set up healthy savings habits and healthy goals, because when you get to those goals and you keep on going forward, you're going to continue to budget because you just were successful. So setting yourself with a goal, a smart goal, which is reachable, attainable, nothing too out there, you're definitely better off that way.
Okay, two more questions for you. The first, let's say I'm in a very tight financial situation.
Yeah.
20% aside, I've got $100 a month left, right? My expenses are huge. This is an expensive place. It almost feels like by the time I pay down some credit card bill, I got $10 left to save. What's the point? But it sounds like you're saying, I don't care if it's $2, you have to save something.
Yeah, absolutely. You always have to take that payment that you're going to do in savings and almost look at it as you're paying yourself. When you're paying yourself, and you're doing these things to create healthy habits and create goal achievements and small goal achievements that you're capable of doing. That's why it's a smart goal, it's an attainable goal, it's a reachable goal, and it's something that you're going to be able to do. So if your goal is to save $100 and have that as an emergency fund savings account, saving it $2 by $2, you'll be able to achieve it. If your goal is to save whatever amount it is, but chop it up into little chunks and you'll be able to achieve it there. So it doesn't matter what amount you save as long as you're saving consistently.
Okay. Ansel Tejada, last question quickly. Are there resources on your website at MassCap, and what can people access there?
Yeah, absolutely. So MassCap is a great organization. We have 23 agencies throughout the state of Massachusetts. Most of our agencies offer financial education within our agencies, which deal with the budgeting and the debt repayment and things like that. So you could definitely reach us at the MassCap website. And
what is that?
MassCap.org.
Okay.
And go to the financial empowerment page.
All right. Ansel Tejada of MassCap, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.